Welcome to Kitchen Window, NPR's food podcast. I'm Bonnie Wolf. Thanksgiving is the big food holiday of the year. Everybody has a favorite must-have dish. A lot of us try something new, and most of us know there will be at least one disaster in the kitchen. Today, we'll consider the old, the new, and the unexpected. So let's dig in. Nicole Spiridakis writes from San Francisco about food and travel on her blog, Cucina Nicolina. She has written a piece for Kitchen Window Online about what to make for the vegetarians and vegans at your Thanksgiving table. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Bonnie.
You go to your parents for Thanksgiving.
I do.
So there is a turkey?
There is a turkey, but I don't eat it. And when I host dinner for myself, which I have done a lot in the past, I have mostly made it vegetarian because I'm a vegetarian. And to be honest with you, most of the people who come to dinner, they may miss the turkey like a little bit, but they're pretty happy with the stuff that I come up with.
Do you miss turkey?
You know, I don't. It smells delicious when it's roasting, but I've been a vegetarian now for almost 13 years. So I really love vegetables, and it's just kind of how I live now. So I don't miss it, no.
So for you, side dishes are the sort of star of the Thanksgiving table. What we meat eaters would call side dishes.
Right, exactly. Well, that's why I wanted to, for this piece, I tried to come up with recipes that are pretty substantial, not too heavy, but still, you know, filling and that you could eat as a main dish for a vegetarian or a vegan.
Well, and as you point out, it's such a wonderful time of year for vegetables.
It is.
And Thanksgiving really is a harvest festival. So
it is.
Give us your top vegetables and what you do with them.
Well, I love squash, and especially now that we're getting into winter squash time. Pumpkins are a great way to really showcase some of fall's great produce because you actually use the pumpkin as your serving dish and part of the meal. And then I used carrots and parsnips and other root vegetables, which are coming in right now.
What about sweet potatoes?
Sweet potatoes, you can do so much with them besides, you know, just mashing them or even the old casserole that people do. You could do...
You don't put marshmallows on top of them?
Actually, marshmallows are not vegetarian, so I can't eat them anyway, but...
They're not?
No, because there's gelatin in them, so if you're very strict, you don't want to eat them.
Uh-huh.
Not to mention they're very sweet.
Well, what do you do with sweet potatoes?
Well, you could do a soup. I did not put a recipe in that, but it's pretty easy to find a good, simple sweet potato soup. You could do a sweet potato souffle, which is basically you could take a regular cheese souffle recipe, and then I would add, say, a cup of mashed sweet potatoes to your base. You could do a gratin of sweet potatoes. You could do many things.
Curry.
curry.
You
probably do a curry.
I just ask because of all the holidays involving food, Thanksgiving seems to be the one where people really want sort of traditional things that they have year after year, and sweet potatoes seems to be one of them.
I think so, yes.
What about other so-called traditional Thanksgiving dishes? How do you deal with some of the other foods people would expect?
Well, we always have to have gravy, I think. That seems to be one of the things. Even if you're not eating the turkey, you want to put your gravy on your mashed potatoes. Mashed potatoes are really easy to make vegetarian, I think. Most of the time they are anyway. So in this piece, I included a recipe for vegetarian gravy, which I actually think tastes pretty good. I actually really enjoy it. And for the last 5 years or so, I've been making it, even when there is a turkey, and we don't have the turkey gravy, and people seem to like it pretty well.
What's in a vegetarian gravy?
It's really mushroom-based, which I think gives it a richness and a depth of flavor that meat can also give. So it's pretty much mushrooms and vegetable broth and onions, and cook it all down and puree it. And it's pretty good.
I just want to go back to mashed potatoes for a second. Mm-hmm. Why would mashed potatoes ever not be vegetarian?
Well, I've seen some recipes, like in Gourmet Magazine and things, where you know you can put some bacon in them, and that sounds very decadent and delicious.
But... Well, and I guess they're not vegan if you use butter or milk.
Right, but, you know, you can use plain soy milk instead of milk or margarine you could just mash them with olive oil and maybe, or some truffle oil and salt, and that would be vegan.
What else do you do for vegans?
Well, it's pretty easy to adapt a lot of vegetarian recipes to be vegan. All the recipes I included with this article are vegan. So I put a mushroom galette, which is kind of a free-form mushroom pie. So instead of using a butter crust, I used olive oil, and I didn't use any cheese. But I really think at Thanksgiving, because there's so much food, you don't want to overdo it with all the heavy cream. I mean, we love it, but you want to feel okay the next day when you wake up, you know?
Well, often I think even at a turkey Thanksgiving, people load up on the vegetables. So this is just, what about green vegetables? What do you do there?
Well, usually just something pretty simple, maybe just some green beans sauteed with some carrots, with a little olive oil, maybe even some zucchini. Or you could roast some Brussels sprouts, which are also coming in right now. That's very simple. I always like to have some sort of a green.
How do you roast Brussels sprouts?
I cut them in half. I put them in an oven about 400 with some olive oil for about 15 minutes. And they turn really nice and crispy. They're delicious.
I guess you don't go the tofurkey route.
No, I've tried tofurkey once, and it's okay. It's just...
What is it, a blob of soy in the shape of a turkey?
Well, it's a little better than that. There's a lot of different fake meat products out there, and some of them are pretty good. It kind of has somewhat of the similar texture to turkey. Of course, it's not the same, but it kind of has similar flavor. So it's not just plain tofu shaped like a turkey.
But it is shaped like a turkey.
You know, I think it is somewhat. So it all kind of depends on your taste. I think for me, I'm kind of like, well, if I'm not going to eat meat, then I would like to just load up on as many vegetables as possible and make a really hearty, you know, main dish. And that's why I also, I was talking about the pumpkin with the stew, I put chickpeas in it to give it some protein, because beans are a great source of protein for
right.
if you're not eating meat.
Okay, the important question, what do you make for dessert?
Pumpkin pie, of course. Pumpkin pie, and I make an apple pie usually.
Nicole, it sounds like a wonderful meal, and I wish you a happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, and same to you.
That was food writer Nicole Spyridakis. I grew up 1,000 miles from the ocean, way back in the days before shipping fresh seafood cross-country was routine. But we always had oysters for Thanksgiving. My grandfather had a lumber company in Minnesota that did business with the big paper company, Georgia Pacific, in the 1950s. At Thanksgiving and Christmas, they always sent him a bushel of oysters. Fortunately, my dad knew how to shuck an oyster. He had worked in his family's restaurant, the Hollywood Sandwich Shop, in Chicago in the 1930s, and every winter, they'd clear the window and fill it with ice and with my dad, who stood there on display shucking oysters. Then I left home and had to fend for myself. I can count on oysters. Others have their cornbread stuffing or marshmallow-topped sweet potatoes. These are the certainties of Thanksgiving. It also is certain there will be at least one disaster. The biscuits are burned, the gravy is gritty, and the turkey is in trouble. Christopher Kimball can help. He is the creator of Cook's Illustrated magazine and hosts the PBS television show America's Test Kitchen. Kimball dropped by the home kitchen of NPR's Renee Montagne a few years ago with hands-on tips on how to recover from holiday cooking disasters.
First, an inspection. Chris Kimball rustles through my cabinets and drawers.
Your measuring cups, they're a little light in that. You have one good set.
No, I've got this.
No, those are nice.
I have another set up there.
You do have a lemon-lime press, one of those.
From Mexico.
Those are very nice, yeah. But you don't have a digital timer.
No.
You have one of the old-fashioned ones here. So those are not particularly accurate, but they do work.
I didn't take your advice last year.
How many times am I going to have to come by before you start listening to me?
Okay, so now on to the business of saving Thanksgiving. perhaps the most serious Thanksgiving nightmare, a turkey that is only partly thawed. And I put it in the fridge 2 days ago. The outside is fine, but deep in the belly of the bird lies a glacier. And guess what?
A 20-pound bird could take up to 5 days to defrost. 4 or 5 pounds a day is the rule in the refrigerator. Most people take it out Wednesday afternoon, a 15-pound bird, and they think by the next morning it's defrosted. And there is a solution. You leave it in the packaging, put it in a sink or a beer cooler, cold water. Let's do the sink right here. Put it in. And let it sit for 30 minutes.
Cover? Fill the sink up?
Cover.
Right?
And the reason is, you know, water is a better conductor of heat than air. So it'll drain off the cold from the turkey faster. Change the water every 30 minutes because as it heats up, you don't want that bird to get over 40 degrees. Because if there is any contamination, which there isn't on most birds, that's the temperature at which the bacteria can start to multiply.
Okay, so let's say your turkey comes out great, but not so your gravy. It's a problem that is so common, we put Chris Kimball's recipe for Save the Day gravy at NPR.org so you can look at it again and again. Back to my kitchen and our next Thanksgiving nightmare, burned biscuits. Flaky and buttery on the inside, but sooty black on the top.
We're actually going to take a simple solution, a microplane zester. It's a grater, essentially, with a handle. And we're just going to take it and we're going to rasp off the... This is not working very well.
What if you used...
Yeah, forget this fancy one. Here we go. Let's try a cheese grater with a biscuit. That works much better.
This is very great because the top looks charming enough.
Another nightmare, pies. And so much can go wrong. Starting with crumbly pie dough that's impossible to roll out, impossible to bake.
This is a desert dough.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean this.
It's falling apart.
Yeah, not enough rainfall. Take the dough off the counter, put it in a bowl, add some cold water to it. People are so scared that the dough is going to end up too wet. Don't worry about it. If you can't roll the dough out, you're never going to eat it. If it doesn't get in the pan, it doesn't get in the pan. So there you go. Now feel that. That's going to feel...
Oh, it feels pretty good.
Yeah. And there you go. Now you have a nice looking dough. You can see little pieces
little
of butter.
Big pieces of butter.
That'll make it flaky. Yeah, there you go.
That solved. Here's another pie predicament. You bake a pumpkin pie and it develops cracks. There's a quick fix. You can hide it under whipped cream. But next time... Try taking the pie out of the oven before it's cooked all the way through. The middle should still be wobbly, I know, a little scary, but it will continue to cook while on the counter, and it will be both crack-free and richer tasting.
Let's say you end up with dry pie. You're looking at it. It's Thanksgiving. Any way to fix that?
Well, I would first of all serve it and say, this is the best pie I've ever made. Because you always lie about your desserts. Never tell people what you've made until you make it. So, I mean, this is one of the problems that happened to me. I actually had a pumpkin pie fall on the floor. And to your great horror, you'll know I actually served it. I scraped it up. I put it in a bowl, and I said it was pumpkin pan dowdy, you know, or jumble. You can call it pumpkin jumble. So if you have a problem, just rearrange the presentation. That's what I would say.
That's good advice.
Just like expensive
That's
restaurants.
That's good life advice.
Yes, right.
And by the way, if you need to take a pie somewhere, and people often do on Thanksgiving, round up a 10-inch pizza box from your local pizzeria, line it with a piece of non-skid shelf paper, and voila, a perfect pie caddy. So now, on to bland, tasteless vegetables.
Every year I used to go to my mother's with organic vegetables that she took out of the root cellar. And microwaved for 5 minutes and put on the table with no salt, no oil, no herbs. So I had to, like, sneak into the kitchen and do stuff to them. So here's what I used to do. Again, we have some snow peas, some green beans, some carrots, some broccoli. You can make a vinaigrette. This is a honey mustard Dijon vinaigrette and put it on the vegetables to dress it up.
But on the warm vegetables.
On
we
warm
always
vegetables.
Think of vinaigrettes, obviously.
That's
yes.
right. And you can just grate some Parmesan cheese on top, a few hot red pepper flakes maybe. Fresh herbs, any of those three with the olive oil is fine.
And then you brought some sesame oil.
Yeah, there are two kinds of sesame oil. There's roasted or toasted sesame oil, which has a lot of flavor. And if you want to just hear tons of flavor.
What did you say to your mother when after she steamed all these organic vegetables and they suddenly reappeared with vinaigrette on
them. I said, gee, these taste good, Mom. I didn't say anything. Were you kidding me?
And here's another tip. If you don't happen to have a nutcracker and need one, Chris Kimball says simply put the nuts in a freezer bag and whack them with a pot.
There you go.
Perfect almond. You need a moment like that probably every Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Feels good.
Now, if your Thanksgiving dinner does turn into a nightmare, think of it this way. It'll be a great story to tell next Thanksgiving. And Chris Kimball says even professional chefs have mishaps. Sometimes they even cause them.
I actually know a woman who in the early 80s published a cookbook which contained a recipe for roast stuffed turkey with popcorn stuffing. She forgot to mention you need to pop the kernels first. So in thousands of kitchens across America, they were putting in 4 cups of unpopped corn kernels into the birds, and they were exploding all over. They had to recall the cookbook. That's probably the worst-case scenario. Another reader said that she had a large bird in a fairly small electric oven. She decided to baste it 1 year with cognac, and, of course, it turned into a vaporized. The electric oven turns on. It explodes. The door is shoved open. A fireball goes out into the kitchen, and that created a vacuum, so the door slammed shut right afterwards. And she said her son was there, and so he was like, wow, Mom, can you do that again? She thought that was really cool.
That was NPR's Renee Montaigne with Christopher Kimball. Thanks for listening to today's Kitchen Window, NPR's food podcast. Go to our website, npr.org/kitchenwindow, for more food stories and lots of recipes for Thanksgiving. Join us next time. I'm Bonnie Wolfe.